The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game. Good Tuesday morning to you right here at Visa, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland-Bidlin, y'all. How you doing, Kelly?
Good? Good, man. Doing well.
Doing well. Off of 5-0, circa millions. Feeling good.
Survivor through. Perfect NFL betting weekend.
Good for you.
People asked me last night, said, Kelly, what are you betting? I said, absolutely nothing because I'm perfect this weekend. Yeah, I don't want to ruin that.
I
want to keep saying that.
I ruin a good thing. This show is packed. We got Survivor Talk coming up, of course. Kelly and I both threw on that. We'll talk about candidates for this week 4 in the National Football League. We'll do teasers. We will do guessing lines, the college football version with young Kelly Bidlin. Why, you ask? Because we want to see if we can put together a good bid on this or it's going to be really bad. The North Star for the college football guessing lines bid, Kelly, is it just, remember, it doesn't have to be good. It just has to be really stupid. That's our North Star.
That's right, man.
That's what we're going for.
I got some stupid for you prepared for that.
Yeah. Again, this inspired by the fact that Kelly was looking for, hey, what game are we doing in a second? I said, we're doing Stanford and UW. And he's like, what's the line? I go, 14. And then there's like a 5-second pause, and he goes, plus or minus. So we figured we ought to try a college football guessing lines. Mark Borch at Paul Spore on baseball, among other things. Wow, is this NL East race fantastic? One game lead for the Mets. Now each team has, or both teams have 8 games left. Each team has 8 games left, including, of course, 3 against each other, starting on, I cannot wait, Friday. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be absolutely awesome. 2 games between now and then, though, for both teams. We'll talk to Paul Spore about that, Mark Borchett as well, Todd Wright on fantasy football, Pete Futak on college football. Every team at the top of college football flawed in some way. We'll ask him what's the most concerning flaw of all the teams at the top of college football, among other things, get his thoughts on this week's games. News in the NFL. We'll get to the Cowboys-Giants in a minute, but just some other news to clarify from yesterday because things were swirling. Well, first of all, New England Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, who we know had that high ankle sprain. Remember, on the final pick in that game the other day against the Ravens, final play of the game, he came up with a pained expression on his face. His left leg got crumpled a bit. He's likely going to miss multiple games now with a severe high ankle sprain. That confirmed that according to ESPN, and that means Brian Hoyer, the Brian Hoyer experience, will resume again for the Patriots this week. So that is what New England faces down the barrel of. No Mac Jones for what looks like at least multiple games. We shall see.
And then that game right now, Gil, 10.5 pretty much painted everywhere. I saw it hit 11 a couple places yesterday, but it looks like there was a little, that was the point of resistance, a little buyback at that point. So 10.5 pretty much across the board. Right?
10.5 at Green Bay for those who are wondering who they were playing. By the way, a total of 40 with a spread of 10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about your, you know, conflate the two, a 25-15, a 26-14 kind of football game, that kind of thing, based on the spread and the total. And then in case you missed this yesterday, and this is one of these stories where I'm not sure if we have all the details on this, but Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett released from a Cleveland hospital after being treated for injuries he sustained in a one-car crash Monday afternoon. That according, again, confirmed by ESPN, I should say. And the car flipped, by the way, Kelly.
Yeah.
The car flipped. The car was total. He is lucky to, and they say, non-life-threatening injuries, which he and, by the way, a passenger as well, very likely not to have life-threatening injuries. But there is correct me if I'm wrong, there is somewhat of a distance between non-life-threatening and is he okay to play? Do we know the extent of any injuries? Do we have any details on that at all?
Yeah, I really don't know. I read the same thing you did. That was the biggest thing I took away. I'll be honest, though. Yesterday, when I first heard of this, I kind of didn't really think that big a deal. The way it was being reported
didn't
sound that big of a deal, I felt like.
I felt the same.
And then, yeah, I read that ESPN story, you know, late last night, and it's like, you know, you throw the sentence, the car flipped over in there, and, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, this wasn't exactly a minor accident. Got it.
Right.
And you're right. Like, it's you know, non-life-threatening. I've read that. Being treated for injuries sustained in a one-car crash. Like, that's about as much as I've read. Did we'll not see. Break any bones.
Hope everything's okay. Boy, will he be fortunate based on how that car looked and the flipping of the car to have not sustained anything serious.
So, Gil, even this is a weird sentence. Garrett's agent, Nicole Lynn, told ESPN that Garrett did not break any bones in the accident. It's like, well, that's oddly specific. Hmm. You could have other injuries.
Well, that's good to hear at least, right?
I mean, yeah, but still, you can have other injuries that don't include bones,
yes,
right?
You may have left something out, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Last night, Cowboys knock the Giants from the ranks of the unbeaten. How that sends. Giants fall to 2-1. The Cowboys go to 2-1. Cooper Rush, 21 of 31, and the Cowboys 23-16 win. They win outright as 1.5-point dogs. 21 of 31 was Rush for 215, one touchdown, no picks. He was not sacked. Pollard, 13 for 105. Lamb, more on him coming up, 8 of 87 for a touchdown. He ended up with a good number in his box score. Daniel Jones in defeat, 20 of 37 for 196, no touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked 5 times, 3 of which were by DeMarcus Lawrence toasting Evan Neal, the 7th pick in the draft. And by the way, no tight ends seem to want to help Evan Neal, even when they put a tight end back there to help him. Saquon, 14 for 81 and a touchdown on the ground, 4 catches for 45. Won't go through too much of this game, but there were some moments. First of all, the first half was marred by the officials.
Yes.
3rd and 3 at the Giants, 10, 9:17 left in the second quarter. It was a 3-3 game, and 3 plays after a Tony Pollard 46-yard scamper, Noah Brown is basically tackled in the end zone by Darnay Holmes. No call whatsoever, and Dallas is forced to kick a field goal to go up 6-3, as opposed to having a shot at going in the end, having a shot at the doorstep to go up 10-3. Troy Aikman was like nervously laughing about how bad of a call it was. When they came back from commercial, they said nothing. I was like, this is terrible. We're not going to talk about this, how bad of a non-call this was anymore. And after a 3-and-out for the Giants, Dallas had a 3rd and 12 at their own 21 with 5:12 left in the second quarter, up 6-3. They pitched it to Zeke for 27. Next play, Rush to Lamb, wide open, deep, stone cold drop.
Oh.
Maybe a 52-yard touchdown, maybe, you know, first and goal at the very least. By the way, 5 plays later, the drive stalled when Lamb dropped another deflected pass that could have put Dallas in field goal range. Instead, they were forced to punt. Back to the refs for a second. 3rd and 13 at the Giants 42, 35 seconds left in the half. Giants ball. Jones completes a pass downfield to Galladay that would have put the Giants in field goal range at least. But an OPI was called on Sterling Shepard, who crashed into Trayvon Diggs, but was basically just running a route, just running his pass pattern.
Yeah.
So there was that, and it was 6-3 at the half, and you're like, okay, this game can only get better. So second half, oh, by the way, end of the first half, Giants, I should point this out with the coaches, interesting little coaching mano-a-mano. Giants end up with a 4th and 2 at the Dallas 47 with 10 seconds left. Dallas calls a timeout, which was risky because you could be manufacturing a field goal opportunity, right, in essence, for the Giants. But instead, Dallas correctly bet on its D to make the stop. They did, forcing an incompletion. Then they had their own 59-yard field goal attempt from Brett Maher after a 12-yard completion, but he missed it wide left. So it was 6-3 at the half. Let's fast forward to the... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the first half was exactly what I thought this game was going to be last night. Horrible football, boring football. Really nothing stood out to me. And then it really completely changed in the second half, I thought.
It did. Let's fast forward to the fourth quarter. 13-13 game. 4th and 4 for Dallas at the Giants 41. 10:27 left. This is the play and the play call of the day. Mike McCarthy and crew decide 4th and 4 at the Giants 41 in a tie ball game. 10:27 left to go for it. And they convert on a Rush to Lamb pass and catch. 3 plays later, 20-13 Cowboys. So their risk taking was rewarded. By the way, that was part of an 11-play, 89-yard drive that took 6:12 off the clock. Lamb, up until the second half of this game, for the season, had 11 catches for 124 and no touchdowns, and he was targeted 25 times up until that point with a bevy of drops, including that huge one in the first half.
Yep.
But then, 2 catches for 19 yards on the drive in the second half, 4 for 48 on that drive. He ends up right now with, again, as we said, 8 for 87 on the game, 17 for 191 and a touchdown now in the season. So the stats don't look as bad for CeeDee Lamb. By the way, after the Giants went up 13-6, the next 2 touchdown drives for the Cowboys, Cooper Rush went 12 of his next 13 for 129 in leading those back-to-back touchdown drives. By the way, after the Cowboys went up 20-13, subsequent drive, Galladay dropped a ball on 3rd and long.
Trade him.
He's always.
They're not using him. They hate each other right now. Galladay's mad at the coaching staff. They're not playing him.
He's always on an injury report.
This isn't Detroit anymore. He was on the injury report all last year, but not on the injury report this year. Just get rid of the guy.
I told you, it should be questionable, doubtful, and Galladay. It should be his own category. By the way, so after the Cowboys, you know, that, and then Turpin after that drop, Turpin goes 28 yards on the punt return, sets up what was essentially a game-clinching field goal, 23-13, and although the Giants did add a field goal to make it 23-16, it was pretty much Katie barred the door, but Dallas did leave the door open, 3rd and 7 at their own 41 with 2 minutes left, rushed to Jake Ferguson, he goes out of bounds, stops the clock for the Giants who were out of timeouts, gave him life, an extra 35, 40 seconds to work with, but 3 plays later, Jones was picked off by Diggs. Ball game, and by the way, on the play, in case you missed it, Sterling Shepard, who just came off an Achilles injury, suffered what is believed to be a serious left knee injury, multiple sources confirming after he had initial tests following Monday night's game. It's just awful for that kid.
My main takeaways from this game, I mean, yes, but you dropped the stats about Cooper Rush. Great second half. Calm down, Cowboys fans. When Dak gets back, he'll still be your starting quarterback.
However, let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
When you're watching a Cowboys game, do you think of him as a backup? I don't anymore. He's super competent to me.
He's been very good. He's been very good. But I think this also has to go with what I'm about to say is look, if the Cowboys defense and rushing attack can be this good game in and game out, and they've been pretty good so far this season, this team, they got a chance this year, man.
Well, my question was going to be, they're not up now. The numbers I don't see up now, at least here in town. Would you bet them to make the playoffs? Would you bet them over on adjusted season win total?
Probably on both. I'd have to check the win total number. Yeah. I think they make the playoffs.
I don't see it at BetMGM. I don't see it at William Hill. Maybe DraftKings have it. We'll check it out here after the break. Coming back with Paul Sporer on baseball as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen is here as well. So DraftKings has the Cowboys adjusted season win total at 9.5. And yes, to make the playoffs at -140. I don't love either of those.
I definitely don't love the 9.5.
No. That for sure not.
I think they make the playoffs. I still do.
The NFC is just begging for some team you don't expect to make the playoffs.
It really is.
Maybe even two teams.
This is one of those where it's like it's shop around, right? Because if you could find, if I could find a 120, 125, yes, on the Cowboys, I'm probably betting it. 140 may be a little steep right now. Just keep an eye on their. This is all where you want to pick the right spot in the schedule, right? So you got Commanders at home coming up. Great, that's an easy game. But then you're on the road at the Rams, at the Eagles, home for the Lions, home for the Bears, back on the road for Packers and Vikings. So kind of got to pick your right spot.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bulldog Grind. Good morning. Is Right Angle Sports giving out a free pick today on live? Have a great show. Thank you, Bulldog. Not today. But we'll certainly check with them, see if tomorrow.
Not today, Bulldog, but my college football guessing lines next segment might reveal some value on some sides that could be worth betting.
Or, Bulldog, it might not. There's also that possibility. Chris Sells. Gil, here's my prediction. Thanksgiving Day could be a bloodbath in Survivor. Watching Detroit's ability to score, there's no way I'm betting against them at home to lose. I think you may have a better shot with the other two games that day. Chris, here's the thing. There's already been bloodbaths, and there might be so many bloodbaths before Thanksgiving arrives that Thanksgiving will just be a footnote if we even get there with Survivor.
Yeah, I'm just hoping
at this point. If I told you right now you got to Thanksgiving, you would take it in all. Well, you have one entry, of course you would.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Thanksgiving is the road bump of all road bumps, but I'm not sure we get there with any consequence this year. And if we do, there's going to be so few entries left that I don't know if you can call it a bloodbath anymore. Let's talk some baseball, everybody, with Paul Sporer from FanGraphs. You can watch him every night on twitch.tv/Sporer playing MLB The Show. And, of course, the Sleeper in the Bust is the name of the podcast. It's our old tried and true Paul Sporer. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
I'm great. I am so pumped. You know, it's like the old Deion Sanders line, which was a tribute to the old anti-drug campaign. And I'll apply it to betting. Betting baseball is my brain. Betting football is my brain on crack, right? So now that we've had the football season where it's just football weekend again, where your just brain is all footballed out, now there's nothing I love more than on a Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday night, sit there and watch this pennant race now in the NL East. I have a lot of Atlanta bets. They are one game behind the New York Mets now. Both teams have eight games left. So when we last spoke about baseball on Friday here on the show, basically Atlanta dropped a half game. It's a big half game because it's in the loss column. So while they still control their destiny, effectively right now, assuming this is of course assuming is a big word because we don't know if this is going to happen. But let's just say the Mets and the Braves won all of their other games respectively against the Nationals and the Marlins. The Braves would still have to sweep the Mets. If the Mets somehow give a game back, then it basically becomes a 2 out of 3 series starting on Friday. Would you bet, because right now you can still bet the Braves at about 3-1. 3-1. Would you bet that to win the division?
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
it's just not a big enough deficit, especially relative to the team discrepancy, which I'm not sure exists. And I'm not sure that if there is one, that it doesn't favor the Braves if there is a discrepancy between the two teams. So, yeah, I absolutely would. It's really nothing against the Mets. It's all about getting the better number.
It's the number. It's the number for sure. Listen, there was a point here. Let me just, you know, be honest about it. There was a point here, and I want to say it was Friday night, Saturday morning. The Braves had fallen behind 2.5 games at that moment. And then Strider went on the IL. So they were down 2.5 games. The Braves' offense had gotten anemic for 2 or 3 days. It was like the weirdest thing. They just disappeared for 3 days. And the Mets went up 2.5. Strider was going on the IL. And DeGrom was set to pitch in Oakland. And you're like, okay, this thing could be over. And then all of a sudden, the Braves' offense wakes right back up and becomes the Braves' offense again. And DeGrom has the worst outing of his life. So now when you watch that, okay, it's one outing. But is there a little thing in your head that's like, I hope that's not a thing?
I don't think it's a thing. I wouldn't worry about it at all. It's just baseball being baseball. And I know that's a bit of a cliche at times, but it's so true. It's so true. Whenever you expect something to go 100% one way, baseball has a way of shaking you back to reality, saying, no, 100% nothing. Nothing is 100% in this game, and nothing. We make sure of it. We, the baseball gods. And so all of a sudden, Oakland rises up against DeGrom. I don't think it's anything except a hilarious coincidence. Not so funny for the fantasy folks, you know, coming down the stretch that have their super ace get rocked. Not so funny for the Mets bettors that are trying to secure their bet. But overall, as an impartial observer, or if you're rooting for the Braves, it was a pretty funny occurrence.
It sure was. It was more than funny. It was, hey, I think we're back in this.
Exactly. And then you relied on a Longhorn, Bryce Elder, to get the job done yesterday. I got to get that shout out there.
Got to get it in. All right. So speaking of fantasy, what are your DFS thoughts today?
Honestly, I mean, you're looking at probably pretty standard stacks, meaning the aforementioned Braves, Houston. They list Boston. I see Boston on some of the sites there in terms of, RotoWire that runs the numbers. I like Kyle Bradish, so I don't know about that one so much. I'm more focused on, say, Atlanta and Houston. Even the Angels, obviously, they're playing a bit better lately, too. That's probably where I go. As far as pitching, I might use Bradish as a bit of a pivot play. Shane Bieber against the Guardians, with the Guardians against the Rays. That's also my best bet of the day, too, by the way. I think Cleveland -155 or Lance Lynn -125 with the White Sox. I know the White Sox, have not been their best this year, but I felt like Lynn at -125 was too good a number to pass up. I know you asked my DFS first, but those are my two best bets. Okay. Are the Guards and the White Sox.
You know where I was going next. I like it. We can jump ahead then because, yeah, you bring up the Orioles. The Orioles still three and a half games out of a postseason berth. Probably not going to happen. But the National League, as far as the third wild card, is interesting and bettable. So here's the thing. The Brewers, the Phillies own the tiebreaker over both the Brewers and the Padres because the Phillies have won both of those head-to-head series. So keep that in mind. Right now, the Padres would be the number one wild card team. The Phillies would be the Braves won, the Padres two, the Phillies three. But the Brewers are only a game and a half behind the Phillies. Phillies to get that number three. This is just specifically to get the third place. Phillies are minus 140, where they currently reside. Padres, who are number two, are plus 165. They would have to drop games. And the Brewers, who I just mentioned, are only 1.5 behind the Phillies, although they don't own the tiebreaker. They would have to get past them, plus 450. Any thoughts there?
I've been with the Brewers most of the year here on this show, you know, saying it's a team that I like. Pushed back on them a little bit recently when things weren't going well. On this number, I'm going to go with the Brewers again, and it's going to come down to the schedule situation, too. They're home the rest of the way. They do have St. Louis for a couple, but then Miami and Arizona. Arizona, not easy, especially against righties, and I believe they run mostly righties. Eric Lauer going to be the only lefty in that rotation. So Diamondbacks are ripping righties. However, Phillies are on the road the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Cubs, Washington, Houston. They finished with those three at Houston. Maybe Houston's taking it a little bit easy because they've got things clinched, but I'm still not sure that those are going to be easy games. I think the Brewers are a live number there. I wouldn't hammer it, but that's where I would definitely lean. I like their chances to sneak back in this and get that third wild card.
All right. Aaron Judge to win the American League Triple Crown, well ahead in homers, well ahead in RBI, a point, a thousandth of a point ahead of Bogarts. Yes to win the Triple Crown, minus 140, no plus 120. Which way are you going?
Probably not touching it, but I think if I'm going, I'm going to lean no. I'll bet against batting average most days, especially with such a thin margin. And his at-bats could become scarce, which can hurt or help, right? You know,
right.
Because I think he's going to start to get walked a bunch, right? You got to walk him in key situations if you're trying to win, especially if they're playing a team that is also trying to situate themselves for October. So that makes it really difficult. But again, you would need fewer hits in that case too. So I can see both sides of it, but I would lean no just because batting average is such a terrifying stat to bet on just in general.
It really is. Jason Weingarten, our buddy, he texted me the Ben Verlander tweet yesterday. Did you see that? Judge intentionally walked for the 18th time this year in 2004. Barry Lamar Bonds intentionally walked 120 times. I just want to point out the difference of what we're talking about here.
But the AL home run record,
right.
Let's pretend it matters. Let's pretend anybody cares about that.
By the way, Joe Sheehan went off on that. Did you see that?
He's 1,000% correct, as he generally is.
Yes.
He nailed it. We're trying to make this into something. And it's nothing against Judge.
Nothing.
I love Judge.
Nothing. He's
but
great.
We're making things out of nothing. Just appreciate the season for what it is. No one gives a damn about the AL home run record.
I love it. Send it right there. Six games now. Judge has gone on a drought here with home runs. He's got 9 games left to tie and then try to get the Yankees franchise record, which also happens to be the American League record, but it ain't the record. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Scott.
With something we call college football guessing lines next and Survivor.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosted guests, 24/7 video, season prep. That includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Pro tools like our exclusive betting splits and pro tips. Updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. That's $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Survivor Talk coming up momentarily. Does anything matter more in your life currently than Survivor?
Not really.
Nope.
You have kind of taken me down that whirlpool with you.
That what?
Oh, the whirlpool.
The whirlpool.
Whirlpool, yeah.
I thought you said the warpool.
I think I said, yeah.
I was like, there's
I think
a...
I said warpool at first.
Yeah, I was like, there's
wormhole,
a...
Wormhole,
there's
whirlpool,
a...
pool, whatever. But yes, I'm sucked in, man. I'm sucked in.
What the... Bob Loblaw, rural juror.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so again, the other day, we're just doing this on a lark. Before we get to Survivor Talk, we do a little something on Mondays called Guessing Lines in the NFL. We've done it for over a decade. It's a tribute to the old Stardust radio show of the same ilk that Roxy Roxborough used to do back in the day. And it's a great exercise, a great first look into NFL lines to see where there might be some value. Now, to see if we can extract some value. So the other day, we're talking about college football. We were about to do a segment with Dr. Bob. And Bob, right before the segment, he's like, I want to talk about UW and Stanford. We're like, oh, okay. Well, he tells me this. Kelly's like, wait, what game are we going to show? Because Kelly wants to have it up on the screen, right, just to let you behind the curtain.
Get the graphics situated, all that good stuff.
And he's like, okay, well, what game is that? What's the line? I go, it's 14. We were just scrambling to get on there. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a pregnant pause, and Kelly then very innocently goes, plus or minus. So,
I mean, I think I was already laughing at myself when I said, I'm like, plus or minus, man, you got
to
tell me.
We realize this could be a fabulous segment. And so we like to call this College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlin.
Oh, yeah. Fire it up, baby. Give it to me. There we go. Guessing Lines. Step aside, Gil Alexander. It's time for me to show you how it's done, man. I got the whole open and everything. Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlin.
That's better than our open. Man, that's great. Okay.
I am pumped.
So now I serve up the game. We're only going to do five of these. Let's not get crazy. All right, Wyatt Tomchek and I have very carefully curated these five games, and we figured we wanted to give you a mixture of, you know, big-time teams involved. I want to serve you up some teams that you ought to be familiar with.
A couple of these I've even seen.
And then, by the end, you probably won't even know how to spell them.
Oh, by the end, I learned a lot about. I learned a lot about some teams.
All right, game number one. You ready? You ready for this? Alabama. I think you've probably heard of the Crimson Tide of Alabama. Yep. They're at Arkansas. What's your number?
All right, here we go. So right away, Gil, I'm going to tell you I've seen more of Arkansas this year than Alabama. Because I had a bet on Arkansas last week, and some 14-year-old kicker missed a game-winning field goal. So I'm going to remember that. Remember that. 14-year-old kickers you don't want to bet on in college football. It's one of the things I've learned over the year. Okay, my number for this game, I went through the schedules, looked at matchups, this one I broke down way more than others.
Honor system, he has not peaked.
Look, I have not peaked at lines, not at all. Arkansas 3-1 straight up, wins over Cincinnati, South Carolina, Missouri State. I got 2-2 ATS, margin of victory is 7.5 points.
Oh, okay, Phil Steele. What's your number?
20.5. Bama, 20.5.
That's not terrible.
Bama, 20.5.
It's Alabama minus 17. That's not bad. You did better than I thought you were.
Okay, all right. Lay the points to Bama, obviously.
Were you going to give us returning starters? Was that coming next?
hey, man, I had to show off for the one game I actually went down with.
Sorry, I apologize. It's going to be to slow your roll. We had to get to Survivor at some point. All right, here's another one. You ready? Georgia at Mizzou, out the fighting Jeff Parles and Ben Wilsons of Mizzou.
Yep. All right, this one, Missouri lost in overtime to Auburn last week, Gil.
They did.
I heard they should have won the game, so I factored that in.
Yeah.
Missouri got blown out by Kansas State, picks up wins over Louisiana Tech at Abilene Christian. Fake SEC team versus number one Georgia. Give me Georgia minus 35.
Well, not exactly. It's Georgia minus 28. It's only a touchdown off, but it's college football, so the point value is not as high, so that's not terrible.
Value on Georgia this week.
Value on Georgia.
I'm going to keep track.
You totally should. This could be the best bit we do all week. It's like, wow, Kelly's like 10-0 in 2 weeks on college football lines.
I'm keeping track of that. All right, this next one's tough.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm serving them up here, buddy.
Sorry.
You already know what the games are. LSU at Auburn.
So I heard from a guy. That Auburn really wants to fire their coach.
Brian Harsin's having a rough time of it.
Yeah, I heard if
they lose that game this past week, maybe he gets fired on the field.
So you got to keep that in mind when you're betting these games. LSU bouncing back nicely after losing the ACC's best team week one, Florida State, of course. Beat Mississippi State 31-16. Shut out New Mexico 38-0. Guarantee the Tigers win in this game, Gil. I'm going with the line, though. Oh, LSU, 14.5.
Okay, this one's not good.
Show me 14.5.
Not exactly close. LSU minus 8.5. How about that? Value.
Oh, man.
Value.
A lot of value on LSU.
A lot of value on LSU per Kelly Bidlin. All right, last two. Ready? Mm-hmm. This got some local flavor to it. New Mexico at UNLV.
Another game. You guys went in the wrong direction. This is another team I've seen a lot of. A lot of, I mean, I watched most of the game last week.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, this UNLV offense looks good. I'll tell you that much. New Mexico off that blowout at LSU. You got to think, hey, they're going to come to Vegas. They're going to do a little party, and you got to like UNLV in this spot. Show me UNLV minus 21.
No, not really.
It's like the Price is Right.
We're going to go. Show me.
Show me.
You're Bob Barker. UNLV minus 14. You're only a touchdown off on this one. So the guesses aren't like.
I'm circling the touchdown area.
They're not close, but they're, you know. They're just showing value. The last one, Texas State at James Madison. Good luck.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, all I have is notes about things I learned, okay? James Madison is in the Sun Belt Football Conference.
That's new, by the way. Okay. That's new this
year. That made me feel a lot better. I texted you that, freaking out yesterday, like I had the wrong James Madison team, because I thought they were like the kings of the FCS.
I guess they
got bumped up.
Former president, by the way, Kelly.
Yeah, I have that written down. James Madison, overrated president. And then I've heard the state of Texas has good football player skills. So that all went into the figuring out what the line is for this one. Let's see. James Madison, though, I was impressed. Wins over App State and blew out Middle Tennessee week one.
Yeah.
Same Middle Tennessee that just beat Miami.
That's right.
Show me James Madison minus 24 and a half.
You probably do better on this one than I would. And the line is? What do we have at BetMGM? Do we have a line? 22 and a half. Bidlin. Nice job.
Wow, what a shot in the dark.
The most obscure game is the one you did the best on. Well done. All right, keep track of those. Maybe this will be the great best segment we got going.
So what was I was just high on every favorite.
Yeah,
right. There wasn't.
But it's college football. Like, you might be okay doing that.
It might be. Yeah, I got to keep track of these.
Can we talk some Survivor?
Let's do it.
All right. So here's the deal. So for those of us fortunate enough to be through, 1,550 entries of 6,133 left in Survivor. 1,550 of 6,133. And I think
that still seems like a daunting task.
It's a lot, but let's say
use the percentages on me. What are we of the final percentage? We're like the final 28% of this, or something.
I mean, it's 25%.
Yeah, all right. See, that makes me feel better.
It's a little higher than 25% left. Yeah. So, I mean, I think here are your candidates this week. How about the Detroit Lions as a candidate? The Lions, who, you know, again, not a team you would gravitate towards typically in Survivor, but this is the week where they are 6.5-point favorites, so-called 5.5, let's say now, hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Would you consider the Lions?
Yes.
I would, too.
You wrote down more teams than I did, so we'll go through mine after this, but right. I'm back kind of like last week, Gil, where because of teams either I've already used or don't like, I feel like I got a few options.
Obviously, you know, people have used what they've used. I'm just saying, obviously, if you've used them, you can't, but these are candidates, just generally speaking.
Gotcha.
Eagles, 6.5-point favorites against the Jaguars. Would you consider the Eagles?
Yes. They are also on my list.
The Los Angeles Chargers, the Chargers, 4.5-point road favorites at the Texans. What could possibly go wrong there? Would you consider the Chargers?
No.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to keep same stance as last week on that game. I'm not touching anything pregame with that.
Packers' biggest favorite on the board, 10.5-point favorites against Brian Hoyer and the Patriots.
I think if you want an easy dub and move on to next week and you have them available, go right ahead. I don't have them available.
I've used them on a couple of my three left. And then what about the you put this on. I did not. What about the Giants hosting the Bears? Did I put this on, or did you?
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, maybe
did.
I did. No, I'm like hating on myself. Who would put this on? Oh, that's you. Oh, that's me.
You also will. To be fair, though, how we do stuff for the show, I think Gil and I had this conversation about 3 p.m. yesterday, so this is also before the Monday night game.
I mean, it is against the Bears. Would you consider the Giants? I would not.
No.
No. How about the Raiders? Would you consider the Raiders?
So the three I wrote down, and we did this a little differently. We'll have to get on the same page for this going forward. I did what I had remaining, actually, because I only have one entry.
Okay.
Easier for me to do this than you, because I only have one entry. I know what I have remaining. I'm picking between the Lions, Eagles, and Raiders this week.
Yeah.
It is one of those three for me this week.
I actually like the 0-3 Raiders, as
me too.
Discussed on Guessing Lines yesterday.
So, I think Broncos are a disaster right now. I think it's a great spot for the Raiders coming back home.
There were 25 different teams selected last week in Survivor.
Wow.
That's how mayhemish and no confidence-y this year is. Coming back with Fantasy Talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. On Sunday, you can place a $25 one-game parlay on any Major League Baseball game, and you'll receive a $10 free bet that you can use on any sport, regardless of your bet's outcome. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get a $10 free bet to use on any sport when you place a $25 one-game parlay on any MLB game. Turn game time into showtime with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Billet is here as well. Kelly, how'd you think that went? College football guessing lines. We got a whole bunch of tweets to read.
I am fairly impressed with myself.
I'm actually not fair.
I am very impressed with myself.
I'm pretty impressed.
How many were under a touchdown? Like four of the five?
No? Under a touchdown?
Yeah.
All right, let's not get crazy.
Okay.
All right, we'll get back to the tweets in a minute.
I'm hearing touchdown or less on all five.
Touchdown or less?
Yeah.
Oh, you said under a touchdown.
Make it seven.
Two of them were a touchdown, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were all three of them.
Listen, nobody knows James Madison lines better than you. I think we can establish that.
And they're in
that.
The Sun Belt now.
They are. Todd Wright joins us, everybody, the finest radio host who ever lived and continues to live. This just in, host of the Todd Wright Toddcast and, of course, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. He's kind enough to join us right now. How you doing, Todd?
Good morning, Gil.
Hey, man, so let's start how we started last week, which is, and you're a Cowboys fan, so you're the perfect person, just your thoughts on the Cowboys and Giants in general after watching that game last night.
Well, non-fantasy here, which I know we're going to talk about later. From the Cowboys standpoint, a lot of buzz about what Cooper Rush has done in the two wins, but I'll point out, and others have observed, the Dallas defense has only given up one offensive touchdown in each of the three games. That's the thing that stands out to me about these Dallas Cowboys. And from the Giants standpoint, I mean, from a fantasy football perspective, Saquon Barkley, healthy, productive, under Dable, number two running back through 3 weeks to Nick Chubb in fantasy football. But Gil, the Giants run defense, all right, week one they gave up 21-82 to Henry, 21 carries, 82 yards. McCaffrey, week two, 15 for 102. Pollard and Zeke combined for 28 for 178 for Dallas. Next four for the Giants. Bears, that's Herbert or Montgomery. Packers, that's Dylan and Jones. Ravens, that's Lamar on his own. Jaguars, James Robinson. Good luck, Giants.
Wow, and do not start the Giants defense for fantasy purposes either. That's for sure. My goodness. All right, let's do the whole 1-2 thing. Meaning one to start. Let's start there. One player to start in fantasy this week that many might not be thinking about.
All right. Well, when Christian Kirk got a 4-year, $72 million contract, almost identical to the Kenny Golladay contract that the Giants gave Kenny the year before, people questioned the Kirk deal as much as the Golladay deal. Golladay still hasn't scored for the Giants since coming over. Kirk has scored three times already for the Jaguars. And very consistent with his volume. Six catches, each of the first three games. And Gil, it's not like James Robinson isn't productive, and Zay Jones didn't just have a good game. Kirk is still very involved in this Jaguar offense.
I like that call. He is, and we all kind of, at least I did, I'll raise my hand, when Kirk got the contract, when Zay Jones got the contract, I kind of snickered. Not so fast, my friend. One to bench, not cut, but bench, who you got here?
I think most fantasy owners who have owned Russell Wilson any time in the last 6 years have felt very frustrated, and they are again this year. I show him in my settings through 3 weeks as QB22. You can't start QB22 in week four. I don't care where you picked him. He has thrown for 743 unproductive yards. Ooh. Two passing touchdowns. Gil, Lamar Jackson has thrown for 749 yards and thrown for 10 touchdowns. Russell had 9 3-and-outs in that awful game on Sunday night. I don't think you can play him right now.
Let's ride, Todd. By the way, how corny is that, Kelly? Let's ride. Every day. Oh, my God. That and runner pass. It's just terrible. One to cut, just done with.
I don't think Raheem Mostert is holding his value, and the Dolphins had two rushing touchdowns in the win against the Bills, and they were both Chase Edmonds touchdowns. I show Mostert as RB51 through 3 weeks. Waddle is the primary target in the red zone. 28 unproductive touches for Mostert. I just don't see his value right now.
All right. It is a, who to start, who to sit kind of time of week to think about. Who might you claim on waivers that's out there in most leagues?
Yeah, Mostert was on over 50% of rosters going into the waiver period. Khalil Herbert was not. And I've talked to you in the past about Khalil Herbert. And when you hand him the ball, just watch what he does, how strong he is, how quick he is to make a decision. And he always falls forward or makes the first guy suffer or miss. And Herbert had a huge game once Montgomery went out early against the Texans in the loser Lovie Smith Bowl. Montgomery is day-to-day. Herbert is the guy to claim because he was available in over 50% of Yahoo leagues going into this week.
All right, let's get to trades. We'll get to one that you had in your league here momentarily, but one to trade in a buy low, one to trade in a sell high. What do you got?
Yeah, if someone is looking to dump Leonard Fournette right now with all the Buccaneers' offensive problems, only one offensive touchdown in each of their three games, none of them rushing touchdowns off the loss to Green Bay, you take that deal. You bring in Leonard Fournette. The Bucs have no other legitimate starting running back. Brady doesn't want any other running back on the roster out there with him. Fournette has become the safety valve to Brady since Gronk is no longer in the National Football League. You know, and Fournette, Gil, has 66 touches and no touchdowns. Chubb has 66 touchdowns, RB1. Barkley has 66 touches, he's RB2. The touchdowns are coming. Fournette's not leaving the field. That is your buy low.
Opportunities, that's what you're looking for. 66 touches, that is on par with those he just mentioned. Okay, and then this one I'm a little surprised by. One to trade in a sell high.
It's Austin Eckler, all right? And coming into fantasy drafts, I caution people about the value of Austin Eckler and spending a first round or even a second round draft pick on him. Gil, I just didn't think Eckler last year in round numbers, 20 touchdowns, 70 receptions. I didn't think that was sustainable into this year. It doesn't look like it is three games in. He has 32 unproductive carries for 80 yards. The presence of Sony Michel seems to be hurting Eckler being in the mix for rushing attempts near the goal line. They just lost their starting left tackle. Herbert is banged up. I mean, there's just so many things working right now against Austin Eckler being productive in fantasy. So if you invested a high pick in him and you can get back RB1 or wide receiver one value for him, make the deal now.
Okay, so you come here every week, and we love having you. And I always, people know how much I love, how much I've loved listening to you through the years, how much I love talking and hearing your fantasy thoughts. But for those who may say, "Wow, boy, I get it. He commissions leagues. He rules with an iron fist. All the things you say. He lets us know about offensive trade offers. Does this guy ever do anything wrong himself?" You would say to them, "What?
You damn right, I do things wrong." We all do, Gil. We all do. So this past week, with the switch from Trey Lance back to Jimmy Garoppolo, and based on what we've seen from the Niners offense with both quarterbacks, this was the first 2 weeks. You know, Deebo Samuel was such a critical guy for me to acquire in winning a fantasy championship last year. He finished as wide receiver 2 in my settings to Cup Y because of all the rushing attempts. And they've kind of picked up where they left off. And with Jimmy G in there, it was only going to continue, whether Deebo lines up at wide receiver or at running back. So I wanted to acquire Deebo Samuel last week. Now, I know that wouldn't have worked out for points this week, but the point being, I was willing to give up a marquee wide receiver 1 to get Deebo, but I wanted something else in. As Brad Pitt would say, as Billy Beane in Moneyball, I need a sweetener. And I was a little short with wide receiver 3s and flex plays on my bench. So the guy who had Deebo was willing to throw in Devontae Smith. And I thought about it overnight, and I thought about how Devontae Smith does look the part more of a wide receiver 2 than a wide receiver 1 now that A.J. Brown is there. But just based off last year's numbers, I didn't see enough from Devontae Smith in the red zone. And then he explodes in week 3.
Yes, he does.
He's one of the best wide receivers in fantasy football. I think his fortunes are very good. I wish I had made the deal. I wish I owned Devontae Smith. He fits that Eagles offense very well.
All right. Well, we wanted a little note just to let people know you were human, and there it is. Just, by the way, and all in the first half, too. It was like, oh, you don't like me? Todd Wright, watch this. Todd Wright, everybody. Fantasy football. Thank you, Todd. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Gil.
Todd Wright Toddcast, and of course, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed to hear his fantasy advice week after week after week. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt on baseball will read all your tweets. Very good feedback on your segment, Kelly. It's next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.